You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Feel determined, doesn't it? You know how determined it makes you feel? It almost makes you feel as determined as these creatures that are coming out everywhere in the headlines, whether it be the faithless electors, whether it be Harry Reid, whether it be John Podesta crawling out of his hole again, saying he needs to have a talk with all the electors. Wants to make sure they know exactly what's going on. All the electors are very concerned. Everybody's very concerned about whether or not Trump was in league with the Russians. This is the last card they're trying to play at the very end, but it's very, very weird. Because it's building up some odd momentum, where it actually makes you have to like look at something a little bit more sobering, so that you can say, okay, this is eventually going to go away. But it's unbelievable what lengths these creatures, of all creatures of all types, are coming out and running with this to make sure that the chances of them of even having a surprise 4 years that might surprise them and good things happen and they see changes in their lives and their communities. Who knows? There's a chance. It hasn't started yet, but they're willing to give up the future of a country and its free elections. They want to tear down they want to tear out the Electoral College and the philosophy that it stands behind. They want to bring this down to mob rule. And they want to be able to hold elections and have trap doors over and over and over pulled out underneath people and hold more elections and referendums and time again until they get the result they want. Because under it all, they do not believe in your freedom. This is a very scary group of people. It's a movement. It's a mentality. It's an ideology. It's a way of behaving and thinking and speaking that has swallowed up people in our own lives. In some cases, I mean, you're definitely 2 degrees of separation away from some of these people that have been turned around and changed for the worst. You definitely know some of these people. You see them every day on Facebook and beyond. You see people that you once saw knew to be reasonable, chill people that are just miserable. And they've gone to church, man, I'll tell you that much. But let's look at this for a second. I have a couple things here. First of all, I got John Bolton over here. We got to listen to for a second. That was very interesting. Then, of course, we have another thing here with the IJR. Alex Plitzis has another article out. Intel expert, it's unlikely Russia was trying to deliberately help Donald Trump. Now, here's the thing that we have to come down to for a second. First of all, we're all supposed to forget about Hillary peddling U.S. uranium shares to Russia. We're supposed to forget about the uranium deal with Russia as far as ties go. We're supposed to forget about Obama's, hot mic moment with Russia about I'll have more flexibility after the election. And of course, the blunders with the reset button. Obama just recently surrendering the internet to a global governing body, which includes influence from nations like Iran, Russia, and China. Forget about Hillary Clinton's servers and the terrible handling of sensitive material. Forget about all that shit. Absolutely not. Don't ever, ever think about any of that stuff. Because, of course, when the hell did they ever start caring about getting hacked? At what point did they start caring about hacks and keeping things safe and maintaining proper relations with Russia? When the hell did they start caring about this, about safety and sensitive material? Well, I don't get it. And Hillary, grilled by the FBI, and what happened? Grilled, I say that jokingly, of course. Grilled by the FBI, and what happened? Well, to skip ahead, if you don't know what happened, they couldn't find anything to charge her with, even though there were mountains of evidence. Mountains of evidence everywhere. They deliberately ignored that it was gross negligence and she should have gone to prison just for that alone. They deliberately ignored that and relied on this crutch of an argument that in the mountains of evidence that they had, they were unable to prove intent. Because, of course, intent is the hardest thing to prove because you need to actually catch the person saying that they want to do so-and-so or something, or they want something to happen and go ahead and make it happen. Intent is a very hard thing to prove. You need to catch the person red-handed. But we are supposed to... We're supposed to believe now that with this investigation that's going on, we're supposed to believe now that the first thing that we were able to confirm without a doubt, with explicit proof, the first thing we were able to prove was intent. Everything else seems shady, and they don't seem to even have consensus within the intelligence community itself. But we have magically been able to first and foremost confirm that there was intent. The intent was there. Donald Trump and the Russians were working together. It's unbelievable. It's laughable, even. It's laughable that they think that we're going to believe this. But many do. Many, many do. Many people do. It's unbelievable. By the way, that window out there across the alleyway, we got to start having people make appearances. If you guys ever see somebody walk up that staircase, please say something, because I'm waiting for that night. I told Matt he should go make appearances in there and shit. Mike said he was going to moon us. Bring it on. So it doesn't make a difference. Let's listen to John Bolton. Let's listen to John Bolton for a second, okay? Hold on. Take this. This is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, who's a possible State Department pick. Listen to this.
Would you support sanctions? What do you think we should do?
Well, that's why I say we have to know the facts here, and it's not at all clear to me, just viewing this from the outside, that this hacking into the DNC and the RNC computers was not a false flag operation. Let's remember what FBI Director James Comey said dealing with Hillary's homebrew server. He said, "We found no direct evidence of Foreign Intelligence Service penetration. But given the nature of this, we didn't expect to," meaning a really sophisticated foreign intelligence service would not leave any cyber fingerprints. And yet people say they did leave cyber fingerprints in the hacks regarding our election.
So think about that logic right there. Going off of what James Comey said about the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email, he said there is no visible evidence, even though there wouldn't be expected to be any evidence of foreign agencies getting into all of those emails and her server and being able to just sift around through everything. They didn't expect that because places like China and Russia and even more so these days North Korea and Iran, these are all states that invest heavily into this type of espionage and this type of intelligence gathering. These are the people that are arming up while we are shrinking the size of our military and bending over backwards for them. We've had our home messed up so much, it's unbelievable. But in either case, just to go back to what John Bolton was saying, when you have all these things put out there and you say, okay, well, we wouldn't even have had any knowledge, we probably wouldn't be able to know if a foreign agency was in there anyway, even though it's highly likely, because they would be able to get in and get out and clean up all of their tracks, all of their fingerprints. But all of a sudden, they've gotten sloppy when they wanted to directly influence the election in November. And remember, everybody, what I said before, too, the real thing here, the real thing that bugs me is that when you have people like Josh Earnest and you have the president and people like the people come out, Harry Reid, this one, that one, talking about interference, the Russians running interference, what does interference even mean? Because once again, think about what the fuck has been happening. Election interference to these people doesn't mean that Russian agents voted in place of Americans. Okay, we didn't have a whole bunch of Russian agents come in and swing the votes and stuff ballots and all that stuff. No, Americans went out and voted. The interference that they're talking about, and the recounts are showing it. Donald Trump picked up another 160 votes in Wisconsin and beat Hillary again in your recount. So Americans went out to vote. All right, I didn't have much faith in the accuracy of the electoral system that we have. I didn't have any. I really, this election made me a believer in some things. Okay, so you're talking about whether or not your vote counts as being one of those cryptids, one of those monsters that you can never prove to be real or not, but everybody tends to think it doesn't matter. Well, you know what? I feel like this election was our witnessing the Loch Ness Monster popping up the surface of the water in Loch Ness and then just dipping right back down below again. It's like if this wasn't even a little bit of a hint that something works, that there is influence on the ground level, then for fuck's sake. But that's not being contested, okay? We know that the votes were cast. Interference, though, what that really means is that we were, to the establishment, unfairly shown the truth about who they are and how the DNC was run and how the media is not free, how Hillary Clinton was surrounded by just disgusting characters, just as disgusting, if not worse, than herself. We saw gross negligence, we saw racism, we saw homophobia, we saw all types of profiling. We saw everything. We saw them trying to use religion or lack thereof against Bernie Sanders. We saw them take the whole primary election away from him. Waste your money, all of you Bernie voters out there. Interference, election interference. It just means that we were given an unfair look at all the shit they've been doing. And all of this information didn't stand to benefit the Democrat Party. So, of course, it was interference because they were always supposed to win. Because they don't care about freedom anymore. And the Mitch McConnells and the John McCains and the Lindsey Grahams, all of these fucking, the enemy, the enemy, the Republicans. It's the same shit. But if you're wearing a blue tie, you're calling the shots as far as the media narrative goes. If you're wearing the red tie, you're the WWE heel. That's it. You're the heel. You're not, it's, it doesn't make you any, you're not a real person. Not a factor. So it's really unbelievable. And people are just loving it because they think that there's still a chance. And they don't understand what the, I mean, at some point you need to be able to say, okay, I lost. Because you're never going to grow again. Can you imagine the game of baseball if people refuse to lose? You refuse to accept. Like, you got to play a game tomorrow morning. You refuse to accept that you lost last night? You have to play a game tomorrow morning. Forget last night's game. You want to destroy the game, though? Because one night in June you didn't win? I thought this was the game you love. I thought this was the country you love. But they don't love the game. They don't have any love of country. They have been pulled from that. That's why it doesn't matter. I know everybody out there is just like, patriotism is the devil. There's a reason why you have some sort of sense of nation or national identity. It doesn't have to mean a sense of superiority. But for Christ's sake, it seems to be the only way that we've ever really had some stability, at least in this way of living. I know there's another way. There's the stateless way. And I would be able to do it with you guys if we snapped our fingers and it happened tomorrow too. But it's very clear what the destabilization of a country's culture means in relation to the stability of the country and the sovereignty of the people within the country, especially if it's a constitutional republic type of a setup, a limited government type of a setup in its constitution, whatever the hell it is. There is plenty of history at this point to show the difference between the stability of nations when they are, you know, culturally sound and otherwise abiding by a set of laws indiscriminately against, you know, whatever, no selective enforcement of law. We have so many inconsistencies, though. So many inconsistencies. So it's all just, you know, that's the way this is crumbling. Let's put something on. All right, so the first thing we got to get around to is Alex Plitzis' new article. It just came out 5 hours ago on IJR.com. A flurry of news reports have stated that Russia interfered with the U.S. election in order to help Donald Trump. These reports cited classified briefings on the topic delivered to congressional oversight committees by members of the intelligence community. Congress is now calling for an investigation, and electoral college members are demanding to see intelligence briefings about the issue. What does this mean, and how did we get here? You see, here's the problem. For me, once again, just seeing that whole thing about the electors are demanding to see intelligence before they cast their vote to see what was going on. This is not a matter of Ruskies stuffing the ballots. People are calling foul, they're calling interference because apparently, let's just say it was the Russians. Okay, let's go on, let's just say it was the Russians. They didn't stuff ballots. They showed us glimpses of a world that was supposed to stay secret. A world that divides us up and cuts us into pieces of a pie and puts us together in ways where they can win out a slight majority and enslave the rest. That's it. They cut us into a piece of pie. So for electors to be, I want to see intelligence. Oh, you fucking numbnuts. That's of no concern to you, intelligence. The votes were cast based on what was presented to the American people. They made their choice. You go along with it. You have nothing to do, with how people got their information, if the information is factual, and how they voted. You have nothing to do with that. A couple of hundred people, a couple of dozen people think that they have the fucking power and the right to turn back the votes on tens of millions of people because they are having they are having some kind of a convenient crisis of conscience? Conscience? Are you fucking kidding me? Gadget Doc, if you know anything you want to put out there, especially from somebody who's big in IT, I want to get through this. Hold on, let me see if I still remember the password to the quite frankly, Skype. Haven't committed it yet. Hold on. All right, I got the email right. Now let's see if the password gets in there. Matt, what do you think, dude? You can fill up the time while I do this.
I think soon a lot of people are going to pay for their treachery.
You know, at this point, when Trump gets in, I think you get your attorney general in, and then you just... I really, really hope that somebody, somebody goes after the Clinton Foundation
I'm
now.
I'm going to write a letter. To Trump.
I want to know what was in the emails. I want to know what the NYPD was going to come forward with that they didn't. I want to know all of this shit. I want people gone.
Yeah, they
I want to see them marched away. I want to see them marched away at this point. This is a fucking disgrace. How anybody has stayed partisan this long is a disgrace. I don't care what kind of opinion you have or what other way you vote. You've got to stand up for the integrity of whatever we have left as far as we have to start somewhere again. This is unbelievable that anybody can stay partisan over the grossness that we have been shown. All right, what the hell is this? Let me see. Did I do it? Yes. I'm in. Okay, everybody, you can Skype in, quite frankly, podcast. But Gadget, like, you know what? Give me like 2.5 minutes. I want to read the rest of this just so that when you call up, you can have a little bit more to talk on. Where we stand now, this is back to Alex Plutz's article. At this time, Russia is accused of hacking into the email accounts of the Democratic Party headquarters and Clinton campaign manager John Podesta. Those emails were then allegedly given to the notorious website WikiLeaks, which in turn released them in periodic batches. The emails revealed the DNC was actively working to undermine the campaign of Senator Bernie Sanders, provide assistance to Hillary Clinton in the form of information and debate questions, coordinating pro-Hillary news stories with journalists, and that the DNC staff was using derogatory language to mock Catholics and Latinos, among other groups. Come on, Alex. I really hope somebody on the network gives Alex his own show. Maybe he can get picked up by like CRTV, like Mark Levin's network, so he doesn't have to go lick boots. If true, Russia hacked, stole, and then disseminated truthful emails about the DNC. Truthful, mind you, he just wrote truthful emails about the DNC and the Clinton campaign's actions. It would appear in this case that it was the DNC that undermined the credibility of our democratic process. Russian agents merely revealed it. Russia's actions are quite serious and very troubling, but the context is everything. There is a difference between releasing truthful information as opposed to hacking into voting systems that could have altered or called into question the outcome of the election. That simply was not the case here. What did we just say? This is the first time I'm reading this article. This is how I know that we're on the right track. We're all starting to think the same. Well, no, actually, I shouldn't have said that. we're starting to process information the same. Thinking the same is completely different. But, you know, pull in what's going on. Put it all together. You have to look at this from context. You know, you do not have to deny that what Russia is doing, if this is the case, is scary. You don't have to deny that. And there's no denying that Vladimir Putin is a KGB thug for the most part. That he imprisons journalists that critique him. That many of his outspoken critics have ended up dead. That because of the backbending pussy that Barack Obama is, Russia has picked up territories again and expanded their sphere of influence. And they're actively trying to destabilize the Ukraine. We already saw Crimea. We see what's going on in the Middle East. They've got a defensive alliance pretty much with Iran. I mean, this is there's no denying what is going on and what kind of people you're dealing with inside the Kremlin. Okay, but you know, sometimes you have to look at things without better context. What is bad? What's good? What did this bad person actually reveal that you have to say, listen, did they go and they change the ballots? Did they screw with any kind of electronics? Did they go stuff the paper ballots that are still widely used in places? Or did they merely drop an information bomb that was all true and it didn't benefit the loudest, whiniest of the two parties? Which happened to be the more authoritarian of the two parties. Even though, like I said, the Republicans are just the guest house. They're living in the guest house on the plantation. Okay? If you want to see the relationship between the Democrat, the modern Democrat and modern Republican parties, Democrats, they've got the plantation, and the Republicans are very grateful for being offered the guest house on the plantation. So they have their own little place where they can be themselves and, you know. Russia's goals. According to the open source reporting, the CIA and FBI differ on what Russia was seeking to accomplish by hacking and releasing election-related emails from the DNC and the Clinton campaign. The CIA allegedly assesses that Russia did so in an effort to help Trump, while the FBI simply believes it was an effort to undermine confidence in our electoral system. Based on the information revealed to date, it would appear that the FBI is probably right. No one in the mainstream political establishment, pollsters, politicians, political scientists, and the press, ever seriously believed or had information that would indicate that Donald Trump was going to win the election. They were all subsequently proven wrong. But those are the same people about whom the Russians would have been trying to collect intelligence in order to determine the likely outcome of the U.S. election. Accordingly, it is more probable than not that the Russians also thought that Donald Trump would not win, and Hillary Clinton would become president. As such, Russia's actions were more likely to have been designed to weaken a future president, Hillary Clinton, and our democratic process than they were to help Donald Trump. Okay? So more so the way that Alex is in analyzing this is that the dropping of information was going to subvert the American system already. Now, we were completely divided up already. You think about the cultural war that has been waged through Hollywood in the college system. Okay? Hollywood, television, college, all entertainment, that's it. It is where the Marxists came in. It's where they were entrenched. And that is where the cultural revolutions and the cultural fracturing began. Then, when you are an outsider, when you are Russia, when you know everything there is to know about destabilizing a nation, if you are run you know, if you're run by the KGB, pretty much, or ex-members, current members, who knows? These are the masters of destabilization and demoralization of countries. They know when the right time to drop a truth bomb and destroy everything that the society once stood for would be. Of course. We are so susceptible to everything right now that they knew that either Donald Trump was going to upset this thing, and boom, at least there was going to be some reprieve from an impending World War III, or all this information was going to leave a firebomb into the lap of Hillary Clinton. Now, subsequently, of a president, Hillary Clinton, who would then have to try to go on with open investigations. More would come. Who knows? Who knows?
She'll hang.
I don't think so, dude.
I wish if it were like the 17th century or 18th century, she would.
I don't know. Accordingly, it's more probable than not. So, you know, I can see that too. How it can you look at it? There's another context. Can you look at it from a point of view of Russia wanted to screw this and elect Trump? Or did they just want to make more trouble for America in general? I mean, one outcome would be a lot more pleasing to them than the other. They would much rather deal with Donald Trump than they would Hillary Clinton. So, obviously, there's an upside to this. But either way, look at us. Look at us. We're swearing off republicanism. We're swearing off liberty. We're demanding mob rule. We're demanding kings and queens. We're praising kings and queens. So this is degenerative.
Lord Emperor Trump.
Lord Emperor Trump.
I think it was an inside job, bro.
Here's the last thing that Alex says. Context and Russia's motivations. For nearly half a century, the U.S. has successfully managed its relationship with Russia while also keeping the Russians in check through a firm foreign policy rooted in deterrence theory. However, over the past 8 years, there has been a serious breakdown in deterrence designed to prevent Russian aggression due to the U.S. inaction and feckless foreign policy. Russia has continuously tested the Obama administration to see just how much it would get away with before incurring a meaningful response. The U.S. then went on to suffer from humiliation of the very public failure of Hillary Clinton's Russian relations reset stunt and President Obama's public rebuke of Mitt Romney's claim that Russia was our greatest threat. How wrong and naive both Clinton and Obama were. Vladimir Putin played them both like a fiddle. Last two things he says. Russia watched as the administration backed down on Syria and did virtually nothing in response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine and subsequent annexation of Crimea. Russia also watched as U.S. was idle after North Korea's hack of Sony Pictures, which cost the U.S. economy over $1 billion. And likewise, with China's hacks of American companies, which amounted to little more than a public scolding and a denunciation. The lack of American action in response to these incidents told Vladimir Putin that he can get away with interfering with the U.S. election, and he did. That has to change in order for Russia's behavior to change. If not, Putin will continue to do as he pleases. And if you think that keeping the sorority in control of this game was going to do anything better for us, fucking nuts. I just don't understand what Hillary thought she would be waging war with a military as shrinking as ours, with $20 trillion in fiscal operating debt already. $20 trillion. How the fuck do you justify a war? I mean, at this point, war is the greatest national security threat to this country because of the cost. It's not a cost we can incur. So you're talking about national security threats. Holy shit. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, so the Skype is on and I'm finished talking on this. I'm not going to read. Actually, here's four quick reasons why Russia didn't swing the election to Trump by Ben Shapiro. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to say the four things. Number one, Hillary tanked because of Comey. He goes into all of this. Number two, Hillary was wildly unpopular the entire election cycle. Number three, the major WikiLeaks revelations weren't major enough. Okay. This one I will read as Max joins the show. This one I will read. The most serious WikiLeaks revelations about Clinton broke late in the campaign. Donna Brazile, channeling debate questions to Hillary Clinton during her campaign with Bernie Sanders. Hillary aides attacking Catholics. Hillary working with the Clinton Foundation. But none of those had any impact on her poll numbers. It was the Comey revelations that damaged her severely. She seemed to be stabilizing just before the Comey news broke. That's the one in October. And the fourth one, it wasn't Putin's fault Hillary didn't visit the swing states. She thought that it was theirs, she didn't campaign there, and Donald Trump obviously had some intel on some kind of information on those areas that were pleasing to the campaign managers, and he pulled out big time in there. So the big thing, I'll put this one in the chat room too, is off the Daily Wire. Ben Shapiro put it out today. Read those four reasons why. Now, we're talking about, you know, Russia and the leaks and whether or not it was the reason, you know, why people went and actually voted or not. Yeah. Well, they didn't stuff the ballots themselves, the Ruskies, but the information is true. Max, what do you think?
Colorado. I think is steeped in this with respect to the faithless electors who want to get briefed. That's the one that wants it was originally a Colorado elector who's initiating this process to get briefed by the CIA for these elections. And it's just so comical. And I was at work with or at lunch with a couple of coworkers today, and it was all they could talk about. I was just thinking, hey, you know, I have to sit there basically with my mouth completely shut, or, you know, I can agree with them mildly on certain other aspects, but just the mental gymnastics that go on there to say that we're going to have the CIA brief electors with secret information, and that's going to change the way that they vote, that overrides, you know,
tens of millions
of other votes. And really, this gets to the article I published. It was just 30 minutes before the show went on.
Oh, you published it on Gaslight?
Yep.
Everybody, get the Gaslight.t. Just open up a new tab and check it out as Max discusses what he just put out there. So that's on Gaslight.tv. Check it out. Go ahead.
And so it's the top article, or the freshest article there. It's Faithless Electors and Democracy, the God That Failed. These things write themselves. I love it. So the CIA working together with the media and the to influence the Electoral College, overturn the election of Trump. They're suing the state for the right to become faithless electors. So Colorado, not all states have this, but Colorado has a law that requires electors to vote the direction of the popular vote in that state.
You know, somebody has to explain to me why we even need electors. We should just say, if it's winner take all, then why do we need somebody to file each vote? If a state has three electoral votes, then that's what goes toward it. Why is there this process? That's one thing I need to ask remind me so I don't forget. Wednesday night we have Professor Bowling coming on. And if I ask him, he will definitely know.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I think the original purpose was for that, you know, that you would send a delegation out just like you would send a congressional delegation. And the Electoral College was, you know, you had to physically send somebody over there instead of you could just call it in today. You know, it's not like yeah, I agree with you. You could just have the votes the same sort of fashion. But yeah, I mean, I've got a long article going back into history of you know, the founding of republics and versus, you know, monarch feudal systems. And you know how the Democrats and the left are proposing some electoral college reforms. So they want to abolish the Electoral College.
Yeah, it's a reform, all right.
Yeah, right.
Let's get rid of it.
So I thought maybe we should look at some other reforms to the suffrage system. So here's my final paragraph of my article, if that's all right, if you want.
Yeah, by all means, go.
Okay. The ongoing coup to thwart Donald Trump's acquisition of power will be interesting to watch as the Electoral College is in such blatant revolt as the left's awakening to the failure of democracy. Democrats propose eliminating the Electoral College entirely. I would like to propose a few reforms to our voting system as well, especially since we want to have a truly free and fair election, unlike Trump's alleged Russia's trials, right? A republic's purpose is to defend life, liberty, and property of its citizens, and we don't want any conflicts of interest. Yeah, because that's why we're investigating Trump, right? Conflict of interest, Russia. Number one, property ownership. You must own property to vote. If you don't own property, then you have no interest in its defense. Mm-hmm. Two, no government assistance. One cannot expect a dog to disobey its master, just the same as those who benefit from welfare cannot be expected to take part in welfare's acquisition. Three, must bear arms. So this actually, I'm going off the article here. I want to point out, we were at lunch and these people I'm going to lunch with joke, oh, you know, next time we vote, we're going to have to show up with guns and you know, assert our right to vote. I thought it was hilarious because none of them do own guns. because Donald Trump's going to make it illegal for Democrats to vote.
He's going to make it illegal for Democrats to buy guns, too, hopefully.
The third requirement would be that you must bear arms. Those who expect to ask others to die in war should be expected to go to war themselves. Voters arriving at polls with weapons are proving their willingness to defend the republic is display and a reminder of the force that government exerts. Because my immediate response to them was, well, you know, in Switzerland, I have family in Switzerland, and they don't do it nowadays, but it used to be the voting in Switzerland, you literally showed up with your rifle. And you had to bring your rifle to vote, or your crossbow, and before that, and your pike before that, because voting was all about how do we use force? How do we use force in society? Are we defending ourselves, you know, this way or this way? Who's going to be the general? Who's going to lead? Who's going to be the quartermaster, all this different stuff. All the state is completely built around defense.
No, I didn't know that.
This is interesting.
Mm-hmm. How it should still be.
So, in ancient Greece, they showed up in the town square dressed in their hoplite armor that they personally furnished for themselves and stuff like that. So those are my suggestions. You know, how would the election turn out if we got rid of all of those interest, people who vote for war but don't want to fight themselves, people on welfare, and people who don't own property.
Oh man, it'd be very, very nice country. Be very, very easygoing. I'll tell you, it would be very, very roomy. Very roomy. I wouldn't feel as claustrophobic, I tell you that much. To keep what I earn and Jesus Christ, oh, it'd be amazing.
All right. Yeah. So go ahead and read the rest of the article. Get the history in there. Lots of cool stuff, I think.
That's the best thing I love. I love when we get a lot of stories from history there, because I just learned something. I love learning. And thank you for writing it, Max.
Yeah. And so if you're going to get to the climate change articles later tonight, I'd love to talk about those as well.
Call on in. I'm going to try to get – I think I can go until about 8:30 tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And I also want to do one more I'm going to announce my next article, which my former boss, Dr. Jack Burns of the Lunar Institute, is going to be on the NASA, Trump's NASA transition team.
Wow.
So I want to write a little article about my experience working for him and what I expect to see out of him in the direction of NASA.
I'm excited.
In a Trump administration.
I'm excited. You know what, man? I really am. I really do think that a person like Trump would actually take more interest in things like NASA, making sure that we were doing cool things again too. I mean, he's a business guy, he's an innovator, so or he has been at points in his life at least. I think that NASA to him will be something that he'll like funding.
Yeah, because I think that just getting into that a little bit. Think about building a wall is kind of been, it's very negative for the country, or at least 50% of the country, mm-hmm. the voting public. But it'll probably get done. But going to the moon, nobody's like, oh man, America is so bad. We went to the moon.
Exactly.
It's going to be the positive. I think space might be the positive thing he goes for as far as building America.
Hey, man. I'm glad that we have a guy on the inside, and I can't wait to read that future article, dude. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you in a bit. All right, everybody. I want to get all my thank yous out of the way. If you want to become my boss, if you really like this show, and you want to see it continue, and if you go to patreon.com/ quite frankly, I've got new goals up there. Okay, I put in new goals. You got to check it out. At $1,000 mark, when we get there, we're going to add a once a month midnight show on a Saturday night. Okay, it's going to be a spooky hookah midnight show.
So
this could be a bonus show somewhere every month. That's $1,000. Once we get to $2,000, that is when I officially go to no less than 90 minutes, or I think it's a 2-hour show. I think it's an official 2-hour show every night at $2,000. So I've laid out all the maps. I've got all my work planned out. So as this thing grows, the show is set to grow along with it. So that'll be cool. So check that out and all the other stuff there, because that's the other thing. I wrote all these letters to people. I got 4 more letters to send out, but almost everybody else is in the mail. And I love writing these letters. When you think about, oh man, I got to write 20 letters. That's at least 20 pages. I write at least a page to people. But I got to write 20 letters. You think, holy shit, this is going to suck. I love it. Because I'm writing things, I'm thinking, it feels like I'm writing in a diary or something. I'm putting things together as I'm going. Sometimes it's nonsensical. Other times it's whatever. It's enlightening. But I was watching this thing, this Orlando, they're talking about Orlando shooting. And Max was talking about, forget about the Orlando thing. I'll save that for tomorrow. It's its own article. But Max said something when he called up talking about life, liberty, and property. Something shot in my head, and it was a conversation I had recently with our interns, both of them, Gil and Kristen. They just left. It was the end of their semester, and that was that. They got their school credit, and they got to hang out here as we transitioned into a completely new venture with Gaslight and everything. Said goodbye to ZenLive.tv. So we went. Did I say guaranteed wrong? Is there a typo on the at Patreon? I just saw Moonlight Matt. Show becomes a guarantee. Did I screw up guaranteed? I don't know why you're telling me. Or are you just excited that we're going to do a 2-hour show? Well, all right. I'll get around to that later. So, life, liberty, and property. We're talking to the interns. And they were bringing up, I forgot what came up, but the Second Amendment came up, and gun control came up, and the way that people protest things on campus, instances they refer to say why we need gun control. There's a shooting here, there's a shooting there. And I tell them, one of the worst places to be is a gun-free zone, statistically. And And I told them something different. I want a different approach with this stuff. And I told them, listen, in the Declaration of Independence, we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, pursuit of happiness used to be life, liberty, and property. But it was taken out because the slavery question was not answered yet. And it would have, they knew, especially the philosophers and abolitionists that were putting together and writing the Declaration of Independence. Because you also have to remember there was two parts of the country, the North and the South. They were settled for different reasons. The South was settled primarily agricultural, industrial reasons, business ventures funded by other countries. That's why they founded from, you know, Virginia down. The North, where the abolition movement was fierce, was founded by Puritans, by people seeking philosophical and religious freedom. They had much different egalitarian views of the world, and they knew that slavery was an abomination. But at the same time, the cause for independence to throw off England was too great. You needed to be able to unite the colonies to throw everybody off and to try to give this one shot or it's all over. If you thought that this was a rallying moment where all the states just flooded together, it was not. It was a very, very hard thing to get the Carolinas, all the southern states to come along with it. Okay, the war for independence was born in the North. And if you had all that problem, you had all those problems getting people to come together and just agree, then you knew that you were not going to be able to solve the slavery question now. And that's why I always say that the signing of the Declaration of Independence and at the drafting and the conventions for the Constitution, the Civil War was guaranteed. That was the second American Revolution in many ways, because you had to fight off that last bit of it. It had to get burned out of us. We were a completely different country from 1865 on. It was the AD to the BC. But back to life, liberty, and property. Why do we go into slavery? Well, because if you had life, liberty, and property in there, to people from the South who were invested in slavery as a mode for industry and their livelihoods and trade and everything else, if you open that up to them to claim their property can be a man instead of every man having the right to life, liberty, and property. One man's property could be another sovereign man. So it creates a crisis and a contradiction right there within the Declaration. And they didn't want to lend the Declaration of Independence's words to a legal dispute and a confrontation between states that was bound to happen. And to give them that ammunition, to give slaveholders that ammunition to say that in the Declaration of Independence they are given their right to the property, which is human slavery. So that's number one. So the Declaration and the Constitution were written as the vessels to end slavery. But the thing is that natural law, life, liberty, and property, that's what this is all based on. That is what the war for independence was based on. That's what the culture here was supposed to be based on. Okay, life, liberty, and property. And when you talk about natural law, the defense of your life is the most important thing, which is why the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment, only to speech and the right to worship how you want and to print whatever you want. to be critical of those in power. That's why it was second to only speech. Because when you think of natural law, and this was put to me in this way, in a couple of places, if Mike over here goes and climbs up some mountain in the, the Adirondacks, and he finds a cave, a little cave in the mountain, and he finds some mountain lion cubs in there. He says, oh, how cute. I want to go play with the mountain lion cubs and scratch their bellies. And the mama mountain lion comes home and tears his shit apart. Are people going to be more likely to say that we need to go up there and kill this mountain lion? Or are people going to be most likely to say, the asshole deserved it. He went into a mountain lion cave and started playing with the cubs. That's natural law. Okay? So that is where we get our right. That is where it all comes from. That is where the right of the Second Amendment comes from. It's not a gun lover's thing. But to explain that to people who haven't had control over their lives, especially down to the very basic elements of self-defense for so many generations now, it seems so foreign. Like, of course I don't need a gun, because the cops I hate will protect me. So this is where you have to go there. And the problem is, because people only talk in headlines and shallow platitudes and all this shit, they just talk in this weird, shallow way, and they don't look deep into it. It's impossible for you to take somebody who is only sitting there with automatic phrases, automatic rebuttals, and eye rolls. It's impossible for you to walk them through all of that progression, to understand what the right to life, liberty, and property, what the right to life really is. But these are people that want totalitarian government, the people to be disarmed, abortion for everybody. It's like a weird sadist death cult. It's a weird sadistic death cult, I'm telling you. That's what it's subtle too. They wrap it up in this smugness, but it's starting to get a little bit more unraveled and a little bit more just insane and unstable. It's weird. It's like we're watching a nuclear reactor degrade. So there's that. I was talking about Patreon. Let me say thank you to all my bosses. Please go on patreon.com and check it all out. It's a great time. So let's start with Michael Wells. Michael Wells, he got his letter. Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little. I sent something. Perry and Stacy, they sent me a couple of stickers, like a YouTube sticker and just some cool little stuff. I sent them back something too, something physical. In the that's what we should do. We start sending each other physical items, whatever we can fit in the envelope. Actually, don't do that. I'm gonna feel it. Oh, it's powdery. Matt Smith will send me baby powder. That's what he'll do. And then I'll stop the whole letter writing thing. The first time that something bad happens, I'll stop the whole fucking letter writing thing. I swear to God. I'll take the loss. Moonlit Matt says donate more so Frank can hire a proofreader. What the fuck is this? You know, first of all, Patreon should have a spell checker in there. I proofread so much, I just can't win. Oh, that's something else. I would love to see if you guys want to do some. If I need an intern, I need a buddy. That's what I need, because I can't. I can give you college credit, but I can't give you money right now. But I need a buddy who wants to make thumbnails for every episode. For YouTube, a very easy thumbnail, like a split screen of, you know, something from the show, me screaming, Matt shaking, convulsing.
That's never happened before.
And then on the other side, just like something. I don't know. We have to figure it out, but I need help. If you're willing to help me, let me know. But it's a nightly thing. I'm asking for help. Mike May. Thank you, Mike May, for the intro. Loving this. Sean Collins, he got his. Christian Peppas of the Amatory Murder. Max Incaparato. Rob Corrado. LS Dan. Dan spent some time on Dan's. I think Dan was one of my favorite ones, right? I think there might be something poignant in there. I'm not sure. I hope I don't disappoint Danny with something goofy now. Rudy Escarcega. Jackie Milam. Eric Reitz. Whitney McShann. Matt DeFabio of the 1984 Club, Brad Meyer, he got to go. Brad Meyer's letter was really nice. Stephanie K, Stephanie's letter is good. Her letter to me was awesome. Stephanie is a nut. I love her. I hope she would come on the show one day. I've known her for 10 years, never met her.
Really?
Yeah. Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum. I wrote Kate another one. Kate didn't write back to me. I thought for sure Kate would write me a letter. I don't understand this. I wonder if her husband intercepted the letter and burned it spitefully. Maybe.
Might have.
Yeah, this is just a conspiracy theory. She's got a nice husband. It's okay. It's all good. Brian O'Connor Jr., Gadget Doc, Marianne Hart and her cats. She always has the greatest cheetahs ready to go. And Bren Antilles. Antilles of Rogue Squadron. Also, Pierre. Pierre, thank you so much, my man. Thank you so much for the... Brian is just interrupting everybody's thank yous. Can you imagine this? What's going on, Gadget Doc?
Nothing much. I'm actually calling you from the phone today.
Oh, it's good, man.
So I was listening to the show. I was busy
thank you, Pierre.
With other things.
I love you, Pierre. I was just saying thank you to Pierre. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I love our French viewer there. So it's all good. Really quickly. So the CIA can't legally have been doing what they said they were doing because that's a break of Title 50.
What do you mean?
The U.S. code.
What were they doing of what they – what do you mean?
They can't do any internal intelligence gathering. Since the church committee, it's only foreign intel.
See, why doesn't anybody bring this stuff up then? Why wouldn't anybody bring this stuff up?
Because they don't want to.
Son of a bitch.
Simply, it's treason. People should hang for it.
Plus,
that's why.
Plus the CIA's, their big thing is dirty tricks. Direct options. Direct action. Okay, they're busy actually overthrowing governments and doing dirty tricks. The signal intel people are the NSA. So they would be the ones that would be looking into forensic fingerprints when it comes to IT stuff. Hmm. Now, here's the thing. You can – whenever a hacker puts a malicious code into Pastebin, and I'm not saying go to Pastebin – that code is out there. That's out for the rest of the world to grab. There may be some minor modifications to it, but it will have Russian signatures on it because nobody's going to completely rewrite the entire code.
Okay. Got you.
So it's a nonsensical argument.
So then what do you think ultimately the electors submit their votes? Donald Trump is inaugurated, and we actually begin the first term?
I honestly think right now that they would be so interested in causing a civil war within this nation that they would do anything they could to offset it. And that's on both parties.
When you say they, you mean the higher ups of both parties.
Yes, those that have a interest in keeping things the same and keeping themselves out of jail. I mean, let's be honest about it. If we actually start investigating real crime that goes on in D.C., a lot of people are going to jail.
And, to them, to
and
the
these
gallows.
Are people with money.
Yeah, what they need? Oh, say shit. So how? Okay, I hate to even say this on air, but how far, how deep into assassination territory are we? How plausible at this point?
I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna speculate on that.
Do you grow worried?
Simply because it's not something that you need to talk about on air. And that's something that the Secret Service takes very seriously.
Right. Well,
so
that's, hey,
I'm not going anywhere near that.
Obviously, don't want to see anything like that happen. But this is. But I volunteer to be a human shield. No. But it's concerning to me, and I'm comfortable talking about it because what I'm seeing here is a movement of people that stops at nothing. I mean, that's what we're seeing. We are seeing people, a movement that will stop at nothing, and they never stop. And they're willing to throw away everything for right now. And that concerns me.
What they rather do is have an alternate, be it a Republican, it may not be Clinton, but it'd be an alternate, another get along, go along kind of person.
John Kasich, right? I heard John Kasich.
Yeah, no, he's already rejected that.
Okay.
He said, I don't want any bit of that. But a Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, Marco Rubio, John McCain, drag out whoever you want to be your get along, go along guy.
Well,
probably McCain, actually.
God. Well, okay. Is there anything else you want to leave us with?
Yeah, no. Just kind of wanted to add to the slavery thing. You understand that the reason that England got rid of slavery was because there was William the Conqueror actually had a law about having to tax property when it came to even human property. So when they found that out, and an English person brought a African slave to England, they found that that person on England was automatically freed.
Hmm.
So it gets really interesting when you look into it. Had we waited a few years before we had separated from the British Empire, we probably would never have been a slave state. Or a slave-bearing country.
There would still have been a war. There would still have been a war. The South would have risen up because of the abolition of slavery, just like the North would have risen up. It was rising up because of the excessive taxation and all that stuff. I bet you any money there would have still been a war.
It would have been an interesting. The Revolution would have been completely different. We may not have had 13 United Colonies.
I mean, the North wouldn't have come to the South's aid because of slavery. That's for sure. If this were, if it were the other way around, but you know what I mean?
I don't know. Because let's think about this for a minute, because it was, you can kind of play this power game with your professor on Wednesday.
Okay.
Is that we're talking about the 1830s, so the Industrial Revolution has already started, and we're seeing factory workers in the North. So would they have done that? Or would you have just seen a basically what nearly happened in with the revolution, the American War of Independence to begin with. Oh, that's a northern problem. We're going to avoid it. Or, hey, these slave-bearing people aren't listening to the sovereign, and that's their problem. You see where I'm going?
That's what I'm talking about. It would have been more fractionalized. Yeah, that's what I was saying. If we're talking 18th century – around the time that the Sons of Liberty started kicking up sentiments up north and everything started, you know, foaming a little bit. The reason that it started, because it started up north and it didn't have to do with slavery with the onset, it was more of a unifying cause. If they had waited some time before, if they had waited to revolt until after the, this is the problem. It's at that point where you say that it would have been abolished by England eventually in the U.S., on American soil. Now, it's when the edict comes from England is what we have to speculate what the reaction from the South would have been. Would it have been the South's war? If the South rebels against England because they want to free their slaves, you know in that case the North would not have found any reason to help the South fight. They were against the slavery. So that's what we're talking about here. So that's when we're So
it becomes an interesting power game.
It does. Well, what does the country look like after that? Because how long would that war between England and the South have gone on? And how long after the South was stabilized do the North and South ever throw England off? Do they ever?
Or we could have been part of the Commonwealth and then gotten off the shackles in World War II. But then that throws in a whole difference on would we have lost more people in World War
Hold on. I added everybody to the – hold on. I was trying to add people to the call, but this is the new shit. You guys guys both there?
With you.
Okay. I'll keep going.
All right. So you got to think. Canada and – Ireland were part of the First World War and lost millions of people because they were English. They were part of the English Empire.
Right.
British Empire. So had we not gone forward, we probably would have still been part of the English Empire. Also, then what would have happened in the early 19th century England probably would not have bought or England would not have gotten the Louisiana Purchase because Napoleon was using that to fund his war against England. So we would have basically been roughly an East Coast country. See all the little dominoes that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't have had an opportunity to have it be a coast to coast subcontinent called America or whatever the fuck it is. It would have stopped at the Louisiana Purchase,
or we would have had longer wars. You know, we instead of going to war with the First Nations people, we probably would have been going to war with another power, say Spain, right?
Right.
And the First Nations people, it would have been like the French and Indian War.
Again, Max is on with us.
Can I propose something?
Sure.
So if you had 1833 when the Slavery Abolition Act occurred in the United Kingdom, so let's say the U.S. The 13 colonies had never seceded, then let's say the South, those that would go on to form the Confederate States, would seceded at that point. I'm having a really hard time imagining Canada plus the northern U.S. plus the Caribbean powers plus the U.K. itself, the British Isles, not having just a heyday with the then Confederate States in 1833.
Oh, yeah, the North would have been part of the force to mm-hmm. Fight off the insurrection.
Now, prior to that is the Napoleonic Wars, which, I mean, I would argue that if the U.S. had never seceded from England, then, France may have had a revolution, but it may not have had such a radical revolution that led to the rise of Napoleon. And so, there could have been more peace in Europe, or there could have been a greater war in Europe. But that French territory to the west of England would eventually there would have been another war between the England and France, and likely the UK and the colonial forces of the US would be able to take over the Louisiana Purchase, because remember, France was not just selling it to finance their war. They were also selling it because it was basically they had no control over it. There were a couple of forts along the Missouri and the Mississippi River, and there was a significant colony in Louisiana, what we call the state of Louisiana right now. But the rest of the Louisiana Purchase was completely just native territory where they had no control. There were trappers out there, but it was a make money right now. They didn't have millions of colonists living there like the UK had with its colonies at the time.
Right. Hey, Gash,
let me propose this counter argument then.
Okay.
Let's assume that we didn't throw off the UK, and France, seeing that they had a real threat to the east of them, being the British Empire, putting more people in there. Remember, they were looking at the United States as a third great power. You know, we were small, we didn't have any army, and we were basically not a real army. So
we weren't capable of an offensive action at that point.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But England is.
Mm-hmm.
So you also got to think that the War of 1812 was just an extension, really, of the Napoleonic Wars.
Right.
Now, and the French Revolution would have happened because of starvation. That was the number one cause of the French Revolution, was the drought. And
I agree with that. I was just going to propose it may not have been as radical with the total republic of the U.S. with no king. It could have just gone Magna Carta. They have a constitutional assembly as opposed
to. They had the triumvirate, so they had something like that already. So, no, it would have went pretty radical either way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you both. This was very, very enlightening. We got to have more
alternate history discussions.
Alternate history discussions. That's fun, man.
All right, man. I'll catch you later.
Yeah, both of you guys. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Take care. Cheers. We just dip in and out of consciousness. Matt, how you feel, man?
I'm good, bro.
You haven't spoken all night. People, you know, some people show up just to hear you drop bombs, man.
I don't know. It's your show.
We don't. Bro. It sounds like you're like.
Well, I'm talking. There you go.
Oh.
It's all good, bro.
Dude, wake up.
I am awake. I just speak softly, bro. And I, you know.
Speak softly, carry a big stick.
Yep.
Okay, so we did Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, property. We talked about that. We talked about Russia. We said forget about all that stuff. Forget about all the real connections to Russia and the peddling and all the bullshit. Forget about all that. We did it. I think I did everything. Didn't do the global warming yet. I think maybe we just do global warming tomorrow. It's 8:18, and if we start now, it's not going to take 12 minutes, because I got three articles here. Oh, you know what? Here's a perfect time for this, then. And this is what people are pointing to as proof that Trump and Russia were in it together. Not that they have any dealings that's been uncovered. Not that anything's actually happened. But it was this thing. Still, we're going back to this public appearance in Miami. Listen to this, the joking here.
It's just a total deflection, this whole thing with Russia.
This is July 27th.
In fact, I saw her campaign manager, I don't know his title, Mook. I saw him on television. And they asked him about Russia and the hacking. By the way, if they hacked, they probably have her 33,000 emails. I hope they do. They probably have her 33,000 emails.
By the way, if they hacked, they probably have her 33,000 emails. I hope they do. And everybody said, turn that into an open call to Russia to hack the U.S. It was a and the thing, and I was called some kind of a name on Twitter, a fool or something like that, by a girl named La Rosa, Tarosa or something like that. Try to, you're so ignorant, so ignorant. He called for the, no, he called for the Russia. He called for Russia. He called for it. And saying, you're so blind, you can't see. Who's blind? You're the person. You're the people right now who thinks that this quit, you have mistaken, and you cannot even distinguish between espionage and a quip that somebody made in front of a microphone on a public appearance when we were already knee-deep in WikiLeaks. It's like he said this, and all of a sudden WikiLeaks, and everybody, they started dropping bombs about the DNC. We were already knee-deep in this shit. And this is people's proof. I swear, I shit you not. I shit you not. This is their proof. I had about five people tell me on Twitter responding to one of my responses to something. Saying, he literally called for it. Of course, they use the word literally. He literally called for it. He literally called for it. And this is their proof. The secret recording of him talking publicly.
It's a total deflection, this whole thing with Russia. In fact, I saw her campaign manager, I don't know his title, Mook. I saw him on television. And they asked him about Russia and the hacking. By the way, if they hacked, they probably have her 33,000 emails. I hope they do. They probably have her 33,000 emails that she lost and deleted. Because you'd see some beauties there. So let's see. But I watched this guy, Mook, and he talked about, we think it was Russia that hacked. Now, first of all, it was what was said on those that's so bad. But he said, I watched it. I think he was live. He said, we think it was Russia that hacked. And then he said, and I'm just an innocent person sitting watching television, as I've been doing. And then he said, could be Trump. Yeah, yeah. Trump. Oh, yeah, Trump. He reminded me of John Lovitz for Saturday Night Live in The Liar, where he'd go, yeah, yeah, I went to Harvard. Yeah, yeah. This is the guy. You have to see it. Yeah, it could be Trump. Yeah, yeah. So it is so far-fetched. It's so ridiculous. Honestly, I wish I had that power. I'd love to have that power. But Russia has no respect for our country. And that's why, if it is Russia, nobody even knows, it's probably China. Or it could be somebody sitting in his bed. But it shows how weak we are. It shows how disrespected we are. A total sign, assuming it's Russia or China or one of the major countries and competitors, it's a total sign of disrespect for a country. Putin and the leaders throughout the world have no respect for our country anymore, and they certainly have no respect for our leader.
That was their proof. Actually, a repudiation of people who would hack the system. A repudiation of people who would do this stuff. But you know what? What's the context again? What's the context? Were they trying to switch votes in the ballot box electronically and paper? No. No. They revealed us to certain truths. Whole truths. Nothing but the truth. That's it. You may not like the messenger, but it doesn't make the truth not true.
It's just not fair. Why didn't they give anything for Republicans, too? Why did they all pick? They picked on me.
Fucking bitches. You're little bitches. You're a bunch of fucking bitches. Just gonna fucking say it. It's just like, it's a lot. This was people's proof, you nut job. My God, that 3 minutes pretty much puts everything to bed. Okay, we did that. Let me see what else is in here. Russia. He ought. Let me see. What else do I have? One last thing. We did the rap sheet, 32 fake news reports pushed by the post-election national news media. Oh, we'll do that tomorrow. That's also from Daily Mail. So you want to talk about fake news. It's unlikely it was Russia trying to deliberately. That's Alex Blitz's. We did that. Oh, we have an active shooter article here that I'd like to read. Another thing that goes back to life, liberty, and property, and why the Second Amendment is nobody's to regulate. Or take away, I should say. But also, I have Based Heisenberg. He put out another. I was supposed to lead with this, but we started in a different way. I was supposed to lead with this. Based Heisenberg put out a new article on Gaslight.tv as well. The Russian Connection. Fake News Friday. The Russian Connection. You got to check that out on Gaslight.tv. We did John Bolton tonight. Washington Post appends Russian propaganda fake news story and admits that it might be fake. Trump on Russia meddling in the U.S. I don't believe it. Trump hopes Russia. We did that. Neoliberalism has brought out the worst in us. I'm going to do that tomorrow, too. Climate change. Three things tomorrow. Climate change alarmists to Trump. Kill yourself immediately. But then we're going to go to peer-reviewed survey amongst the majority of scientists that show that the 97% consensus is not really there. Then NASA expose a massive new climate data fraud. We're going to review that. Okay? That came out. We're just going to refresh this stuff. Now, a lot of it is not new, but it's there. We just have to keep reminding ourselves. And in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the threat of global warming. What's that about? That's about the Club of Rome. We never talked about the Club of Rome on this leg of the show before in other phases of the show's history we had. But this is something we should really go back to as well. Club of Rome coming up with the idea that global warming is something that can be tapped into. Marxist vegan restaurant closes after customers complain that they're no longer willing to wait 40 minutes for a sandwich. And here's another one that we'll do tomorrow. Half of people remember events that never happened. So that's scary. And we'll also do Rogue One. Where am I going to get the time to do this tomorrow? Rogue One, to test whether fans want a Star Wars every year. I heard great things about it. And goddamn Disney for hiring those two lunatics that have taken away my subjectivity. They've taken it away. Because I can't wait to go see this film on Thursday night for the early premiere. But goddamn it, am I pissed off. Am I pissed off that I'm going to be looking at, that I'm not going to be able to completely shake what we read about this film and its writers. So that's it for tonight, guys. I'm going to clear out of here. You guys kick so much ass. Thank you so much for the time. And we will see you guys on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Share the show with people. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/quitefrankly. Thank you all. Be good.